Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Let me thank you in advance for voting in 2016, you more than 320 million Americans. Actually, I'm really speaking to the 240 million Americans over 18, or the 220 million eligible voters. But really, maybe it's only the 142 million or so who get around to becoming registered voters, and then just over half of them will actually show up. If this was Sweden, I would be talking to the 82% of the population that votes in national elections. We would rather be more like Sweden than like Djibouti with turnout in the 20s. But the lower the number of voters, the more the system is open to manipulation. The more a rush of voters here and there or a bunch who can't get to the polls over there can be very critical to the outcome. This is a built-in incentive to mess around with the process at the local level. Low turnout combined with the strangeness of the U.S. Electoral College system can reward a strategy that concentrates on a few regions and districts. It is the responsibility of the states to make the rules. States draw the districts for congressional races. They can consider voter ID laws, voting hours. They make the schedule for getting registered. David Daley is former editor-in-chief of Salon. His most recent book kind of hints at where he's coming from here. It's called Rat, well, I can't really say it on the air, the true story behind the secret plan to steal America's democracy. Anyone can play this game, he says, but the Republicans have been winning all the medals lately.
The Republicans launched a really audacious plan after the 2008 election in order to take this process over, and it has been staggeringly effective over the course of the last several years. Republicans now run two-thirds of the nation's state legislatures, and those state legislatures draw the lines that make up our congressional districts. And what they managed to do, thanks to amazing new technology and a very gutsy political strategy, is to take gerrymandering, which had existed and been part of our political process, of course, going back to the very beginning, but turned it into sort of gerrymandering on steroids. The new data, the technology, and the ease and certainty with which it can be manipulated is what makes the post-2010 redistricting cycle fundamentally different from any other in the modern era, and we are living in a Republican majority because of that, even though they have a minority in most of these elections.
And what you're talking about here is a process that has made the House of Representatives very, very difficult to wrest from Republican hands. And you're also talking about, keeping party out of this for a moment, you're talking about nationally based groups manipulating and interfering in the process or getting involved in the process of individual states where the Constitution says regulations on elections should be placed.
That is correct. A lot of Americans believe that 2008 was the truly essential election. Barack Obama, a supermajority of Democrats in the Senate, a Democratic majority in the House. Savvy Republican strategists understood that 2010 was actually much more important. Less turnout in that year, but it's a redistricting year because every 10 years we redraw all of these lines in state legislatures nationwide. Those bodies then go ahead and draw the national lines. Republicans and their big donors came up with $30 million, and they essentially targeted 107 seats in 16 states, knowing that if they could pull off those wins in those seats, small districts, all of that money makes a huge difference. It comes right after Citizens United unleashes floods of dark money into the system, that if they won those seats, they could control the drawing of district lines for 193 congressional seats across the country. They pulled it off, and the House is in solid Republican hands for the rest of the decade because of this, almost no matter what the vote. And at the same time, you have state legislatures that have also been gerrymandered in similar ways. So Ohio, North Carolina, Michigan, all kinds of bodies in these blue or purple states where a majority of the people vote Democratic, but you have solid red legislatures passing solid red laws.
Donald Trump says, watch out, this election could be stolen. It sounds like you're saying it already has been.
the system has been rigged in so many different ways, and we're not even talking about the real ways in which the election has been rigged. We accept gerrymandering as simply part of the process and the way that politics is done. We should be outraged at the fact that we are 50 days out from an election, and we can already know that the House of Representatives, supposedly the People's House, the chamber that is supposed to be most directly responsive to the will and whims of the voters, is out of reach of the voters at the ballot box.
But Donald Trump is safe in the sense that exactly what you describe affects Democrats far more than it affects a Republican running for national office, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I think that is absolutely the case. In 2012, the first election that were run on these new maps, Democrats got 1.4 million more votes than Republican House candidates, and Republicans still walked away with a 234-201 majority. That is very undemocratic, and what you have now is, for the second presidential election in a row, the side that gets the most votes is not going to take control of the House, and the next president is going to have to work with a Republican House, even one that gets more than 1.5 million fewer votes.
Former editor-in-chief of Salon, David Daley's most recent book is Rat F***, the True Story Behind the Secret Plan to Steal America's Democracy. Thanks so much, David.
Thanks for having me, John.